Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, as Donald Trump announces more attacks on Iran, there are conflicting views on the potential impact of the crisis on oil supplies here. The Justice Minister says he'll consider an inquiry into the Chrysler tragedy. Minister Jim O'Callaghan also says he has no difficulty meeting the families affected. He says they deserve answers, but repeated his belief that other processes must be completed first. And the Garda Commissioner says an all-island approach is being used to tackle human trafficking across the border. A cross-border policing conference is underway in County Cavan. It takes place today and tomorrow, bringing together law enforcement figures from both sides of the border. Oisin's here at around 5:45 with the sports news, but we will begin with the crisis in Iran. And the government is warning the developments in Iran and across the Middle East could cause a shock to supply lines, with the potential for energy prices to rise. Taoiseach Simon Harris says the length and scale of the conflict will be important to consider.
From an economic perspective, is to see de-escalation as quickly as possible, because as well as the horrific impact on lives, as well as the huge, huge challenge this is posing for many, many citizens of Ireland in the region, and the anxiety that that's causing. The spillover impact in terms of economies is also real.
Well, oil and gas prices have risen somewhat already in the wake of the conflict in Donegal. The average price of 500 litres rose by almost €30 overnight. Yesterday, the average price was €502.34. Today, that figure is €531.23. According to oilprices.ie, there's been a 10% increase in price in the county since February 1st. Qatar Energy has stopped the production of LNG following an attack on its operating facilities. Meanwhile, an oil refinery in Saudi Arabia was targeted and temporarily closed. The ongoing violence has prompted concerns about the security of supply, as we said. Well, the CEO of Fuels for Ireland, Kevin McPartland, doesn't believe that should be a major issue here.
I don't believe that there is such a dependence on Middle Eastern oil coming into Ireland that we would have any particular panic reaction like that. We take fuel. Actually, a very small proportion of fuel that comes into Ireland comes from the Middle East. But we have to recognise this is a globally fungible market, or a market of globally fungible products. So it does have an impact, but I don't see there being any risk to security of supply in Ireland at all.
Well, the US President Donald Trump is warning a big wave of attacks on Iran is yet to come. In an interview, he doubled down on his four-week timeline for the war, claiming he's a little ahead of schedule. Multiple explosions have been reported again today across Iran by state media. Four US service personnel have been killed since the start of hostilities. And in the past few minutes, President Trump gave this update on the US operation.
Today, the United States military continues to carry out large-scale combat operations in Iran to eliminate the grave threats posed to America by this terrible terrorist regime.
Well, some flights from Dubai will resume this evening. Emirates says passengers with an earlier booking will be prioritised on a limited number of flights. Etihad Airways says scheduled commercial flights to and from Abu Dhabi will remain suspended until at least 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. However, some repositioning, cargo and repatriation flights may operate, subject to strict safety protocols. The Foreign Affairs Minister says Ireland is in talks with the European Union and the United Kingdom over the possibility of having to evacuate citizens from the Middle East. Helen McEntee says she doesn't expect normal air travel between Ireland and the Middle East to resume today or tomorrow.
We all agreed that there needs to be close coordination so that if any member states find themselves in a position of being able to remove their citizens from the country, from the region, that we are all working together in that regard. So that is ongoing. It is a fast evolving situation. What we are trying to assess is what is safe, what routes are open, what are the possible options here.
The Justice Minister says he will consider an inquiry into the Chrysler tragedy in which 10 people lost their lives. Minister Jim O'Callaghan says he has no difficulty in meeting with the families affected. On the question of an inquiry, he said they deserve answers, but repeated his belief that other processes must be completed first.
I want the Chrysler families to get justice. And the only place that justice comes is in our courts. It doesn't come through inquiries. Inquiries provide answers to questions. They don't provide justice. There will then be the inquest that will take place, and there are other statutory investigations that will take place. If at the end of the process there are answers and still need to be provided, I'll certainly consider an inquiry.
Well, the families who lost loved ones in the Creasley tragedy are questioning why Minister O'Callaghan is refusing to meet them now. They've expressed shock after the Department of Justice responded to a letter from Donna Harper seeking a formal meeting. In December, Minister O'Callaghan met briefly and informally with Donna and Hugh Harper, who lost their 14-year-old daughter Leona in the tragedy. The prospect of a future meeting was raised at the time, but the minister said he would rather that happen after the criminal investigation has concluded. Well, on today's Greg Hughes show, Donna Harper questioned that response.
We were expecting contact back about a meeting with the group of people that lost their loved ones and survivors and injured, because everyone has their own worries and concerns and questions that they need to put forward to him. Then there was nothing, so I had chosen to send an email requesting this meeting. And a few weeks later, I get a reply back and they've refused it. Now, I do think that's awful. I mean, he should be sitting down. The last meeting we had would have been with Helen McEntee as a group. And again, Helen McEntee had put promises in place that she walked away from. And then, obviously, Jim O'Callaghan came on board. And I think it's really important that the Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, needs to sit down with everybody and listen to them and their concerns and worries going forward.
And, you know, you spoke recently at a very significant event in Derry where there was lots of different organisations and groups talking about historic struggles for answers and justice and inquiries.
Well, we're actually living in the very now. Yeah. And when I did go to Derry and I was speaking to all of them people, it was a bit shocking to hear their experiences, because a lot of their experiences are the exact same as what we're going through now. They were having difficulties trying to speak to government officials and so on. Doors were being closed in their face. But then when they got so far in their fight for justice as well and accountability, they were told that we're sorry, there's apologies given to them and changes will be made. So how has their changes been made? There's no changes been made.
And that was Donna Harper speaking there to Greg Hughes. You can, of course, listen back to that whole of that interview on the podcast of The Greg Hughes Show. It's available on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also watch the show as it unfolded with Donna and others in studio and on Zoom over the course of the programme. That's available on our Facebook pages and also on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. An all-island approach is being used to tackle human trafficking across the border, according to the Garda Commissioner. Justin Kelly was speaking at a cross-border policing conference in County Cavan. It's looking at organised and serious crime, bringing together law enforcement and political leaders from both sides of the border. The two-day event is looking at how criminals exploit people, money and technology to run their operations. Commissioner Kelly says several topics are under discussion.
Wherever there's a border between two jurisdictions, there are groups that seek to exploit that. There's a whole range of crime types involved in this. Obviously, some of the ones that we will be concentrating here today are around economic crime, human trafficking and drugs trafficking. Our focus in law enforcement is on those people who seek to make money out of the misery of people, particularly around human trafficking, people who try and circumvent the laws that we have around migration. With the border, we have a number of joint operations with the PSNI and with Border Force UK. We've had many successes, particularly in the last year, where we've identified people who are running some of these groups.
Police in Strabane are investigating reports of two commercial burglaries in Castledurg in which tools and other items were taken. Police believe they may be linked and a number of persons were involved in both incidents. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Police say a number of people entered a premises on Drumquin Road and stole tools from a van. They believe the burglary took place in the early hours of yesterday morning, possibly at around 2:40. Meanwhile, at a yard on Carrick-Dartons Road, an office was ransacked and attempts were made to enter vehicles and sheds on the site. The suspects made off with a number of items of equipment, including grinders, saws and mechanical spanners. From inquiries to date, it's believed to have occurred at or after 3 a.m. yesterday morning. Police are appealing to the public for information. In particular, they're keen to hear from anyone who's noticed any suspicious or unusual activity in recent days in the area. They also want to hear from those who travelled on the roads at the time of the burglaries, as they may have seen something unusual or captured relevant dashcam footage.
A cannabis factory has been uncovered in Oma. Police say they received a report at around 20 to 3 on Saturday afternoon of recent suspicious activity at a house in the Dunmullen Road area. A subsequent search of the house uncovered a large number of cannabis plants in the attic, along with herbal cannabis, with a total overall approximate street value of £130,000 sterling. Appealing for information, police have described the find as significant. They say no arrests have been made, but their investigations are ongoing. Donegal County Council is placing applicants under the Enhanced Effective Concrete Block Scheme into three groups to manage amendments to the scheme, which are due to be published shortly. The amendments will include an increased grant cap, which can be received retrospectively by those who spent money beyond March 2024, as well as a change to the time limit for payment of a remediation grant. With more, here's Ryan Brawley.
The council says 77% of all applicants nationwide are within its district, creating a significant processing workload. The amendments must be applied for and will not be implemented automatically. The online portal is being updated to reflect the changes, and a new application tile will be added. As this update will take time, a prioritisation system is being introduced. Applicants who completed remediation works after the 29th of March 2024 and have received their final payment will be treated as priority one, as they have already exhausted their grant and will be first considered for any increase. Those with works currently underway will be classified as priority two and will continue accessing their existing grant. Applicants who have received approval but have not yet started works or notified the council of a start date will be deemed as priority three and will retain access to their current grant once works begin. More details are available on our website, highlandradio.com.
The Donegal-based chairperson of the HSE West Northwest Regional Health Forum is calling for clarity on the issue of full-time contracts for national ambulance workers. According to SIPTU, 80 newly qualified graduates will not be offered permanent roles following their 3 years of training. The HSE says this is due to the lack of budgetary capacity to take on new members. Well, Councillor Jerry McMonagle says it's not clear why the system has changed.
There's currently 80 national ambulance workers who've been through a three-year course, have completed a vast array of tests and examinations and assessments and detailed patient portfolios, continuous academic assessment, etc., etc. The practice was that when they completed that there, they would get a full-time contract. As of February the 20th, this seems to have changed without too much clarity or indeed information as to why. And now that they're being asked now to do further courses, and this seems to be a change of attitude and a way of training for paramedics, and it needs to be clarified as to why this has come about. And while the current 80 who are awaiting the full-time contracts may be down the country, this is going to affect paramedics who are currently in the finishing off of these courses, this three-year course here in Donegal. And at the Regional Health Forum recently, we've been told our ambulances and the staffing of the ambulances and the crews is under extreme pressure here in Donegal. So I'm asking for the HSE, the National Ambulance Service, to clarify the situation and give us some information on it.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with football, and Seamus Coleman should be available for the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifier against the Czech Republic later this month. Everton boss David Moyes says the veteran defender picked up a knock in training last week, but it's not too serious. Evan Ferguson is likely to miss the game in Prague with an ankle issue, with Josh Cullen already out with a knee injury. Two teams will look to break into the top three of the Premier Division tonight in the SSE Air Trusty League. St Patrick's Athletic entertain Galway United in their rescheduled fixture. Both sides sit around mid-table in 4 points. After making his debut on Friday night against Dundalk, Saints boss Stephen Kenny is looking forward once again to seeing more from his fullback James Brown. Kickoff time there is at 7:45. Manchester City are optimistic. Erling Haaland's latest injury setback is only minor. Pep Guardiola offered little detail on the issue he picked up in training last week, but it's understood not to be serious. Haaland, who has 29 goals in all competitions this season, will be monitored over the next 48 hours ahead of Wednesday's meeting with Nottingham Forest at the Etihad. On the golf front, Rory McIlroy has confirmed that he will defend his Irish Open title in September. The Masters champion will tee it up at Trump International in Clare, where US President Donald Trump could be in attendance. McIlroy won his second Irish Open at the K Club last year. To Gaelic Games, Donegal continue to lead the way in Division 1 of the National Football League after they drew with Galway and Ballyshannon yesterday. Donegal played the majority of the game with 14 players, and at one stage they trailed by 6 points. Pádraig Mógán's cracking two-pointer at the end of the game secured a share of the spoils. Michael Murphy also played the full second half yesterday and played well. Donegal assistant manager Colin McFadden says they are delighted Michael is showing good form.
He showed for ball and everything stuck, and he created, and I think he might have chipped in with one, but it was the stuff he did, assists and setting up play, and even, you know, he won a ball in the middle of the field there. There's two or three men hanging off him, and he came out with the ball, and so it's good to see, and it's nice to see him stepping back in. And I was reading the programme before the game there, and it was 194 games, yeah, that he's played. So it's
level Neil's record, yeah.
Level Neil's record, and it's unbelievable. Like, you know, fair play to him, and you know, we're delighted that he's back out there today again and showing good form.
That's Donegal assistant manager Colin McFadden. You can hear more from Colin and indeed from Donegal boss Jim McGuinness, available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And indeed, there'll be lots more GAA talk this evening on the DL debate, presented by Brendan Devenny. His guests this week are Galway's All-Ireland winner Sean O'Donnell, former Donegal midfielder John Gilday, Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, and Donegal ladies manager James Daly. That's the DL debate live here on Highland after the 7 o'clock news. In rugby union, Perpignan have announced that scrum half Luke McGrath will join them this summer. The 33-year-old has agreed a one-year contract with the French club with the option of a further year. McGrath has made 248 appearances for Leinster, which of course included two Champions Cups and seven league titles. A number of players have been added to the Ireland Six Nations squad this week. Bundy Aki, Robbie Henshaw and Jimmy O'Brien have all been called in ahead of Friday's match against Wales. Harry Byrne has been ruled out after failing his concussion protocols. Wales, meanwhile, have drafted in uncapped Dragons forward Ryan Woodman and prop Kieran Asirati. Woodman replaces the injured Rhys Davis and Atene Plumtree, who are both out for the rest of the championship. The visitors are also monitoring the fitness of out half Sam Costello as they chase a first Six Nations match win in 15 attempts. And motorsport organisers of the Australian Grand Prix say the season opening Formula One race will go ahead as planned, despite travel disruption caused by the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. A number of drivers and team personnel based in Europe have had to reroute their journeys after flights through Qatar and the UAE were affected. But Australian Grand Prix chief Travis Auld insists there will be no impact on the event, saying all teams are expected to arrive in time and be ready to race. Finally, in darts, Donegal are the All-Ireland champions for a 15th time after defeating Offaly 7-4 in last night's final in Killarney, thereby completing a great 3 in a row. The Donegal ladies unfortunately lost out in their Shield final. They went down 4-2. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment here in Highland. The DL debate comes up later after the 7 news. And our next bulletin, Donal, is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thank you very much indeed. Oisín, motorists are being warned of an oil spill on the N56 in the Dlentys area, which may cause slippery conditions. Signage has been put in place from Dlentys town to the Guibarra viewing point. Donegal County Council has been notified. Almost 6,000 NCTs were carried out in Donegal during February. Just under half past, more than 2,600 failed. 451 of those were deemed dangerous. Letterkenny was the busiest centre, carrying out more than 2,600 tests. Carndonagh had the lowest number of inspections at just over 700. Full details on highlandradio.com. There were 1,211 new cars registered in Donegal in January and February, 6% up on the same period last year, slightly below the national rise of 7.4%. Of the new registrations, 186 were electric cars, up 63% from the 114 registered last year. Donegal's local community safety partnership is to be addressed by members of Donegal Youth Council. At the body's first public meeting recently, TUSLA, Letterkenny Chamber and other agencies said it's important that when the interests of young people are being discussed, they have a direct input into the conversation. Michael McDevitt, the Youth Council's coordinator, sits on the partnership. He told Highland Radio News he sees himself as a conduit to ensure young people's views are what's heard.
As a coordinator of Donegal Youth Council, it's important that I'm feeding back everything for the young people and that they're feeding back for me, so the next time I'm in there I can make sure their voice is heard. Research, everything shows that by having young people involved from early stages and throughout every stage, it's going to be more beneficial for the community. So that's really what this partnership is great to have. Young people heard within that. It really isn't me speaking, it's the young people, it's the feedback I'm getting from them. We'll have our monthly meetings where I go back and speak to them, and it's them that's going to have a voice going forward.
The chair has suggested that the Youth Council themselves be invited to the safety partnership to make a presentation to meet directly with the members. You obviously would be very happy to facilitate that.
Oh, definitely. Anything we can do to make sure young people are involved, but more importantly, that it's young people actually having that involvement. And for them to come into a committee like this here, it'll be so important because they'll get their voice heard, but not alone that, hopefully bring on what they're saying and tell us what's going on in the community that we don't know. Adults don't know exactly what they're facing. We think we do often, but to hear directly from them, it's going to be so much more beneficial.
And it's clear from contributions from Tony Forrester, from the Chamber, from TUSLA, that there's interest out there in hearing what those voices are, and more importantly, interest in cooperating with those young people and working with those young people.
Yeah, definitely. And look, we're in a very good position here in Donegal. We have Lakes Donegal Youth Council, but we have TUSLA groups, we have Fraiga groups, Donegal Youth Service groups, that are listened to often from council, from those in power. So, and again, any chance we get, we'll be taking it. But it's great to get the young people involved where possible.
And that was Michael McDevitt speaking to us at that meeting of the Donegal Local Community Safety Partnership, which took place recently. A housing agency says new rent rules will make it even harder for HAP recipients to find somewhere to live. The government's regulations affecting new tenancies came into effect yesterday. From now, landlords will be able to reset the rent to the market level, but only if the previous tenant leaves by choice. Threshold's John Mark McCaffrey says this will hit those receiving help with their rent payments the hardest.
Already, the housing assistance payment levels are way below the market, and therefore it's very difficult to access rental housing now. If you're eligible for the housing assistance payment, once you add in the rent resets, that will become increasingly more challenging, and access to housing will become even more difficult for many families and individuals.
A West Donegal councillor is calling for awareness after two separate dog attacks were recorded on flocks of sheep in the Falcarra area over the weekend. It's resulted in the deaths of sheep ahead of the lambing period, which is beginning, and councillor Michael McCafferty says this causes distress to both farmers and sheep. The financial loss to the farmers, Councillor McCafferty says, is also a very, very important factor.
There were two separate flocks of sheep and two separate fields belonging to two separate farmers. Just to be clear for everybody here, two separate farmers involved, two separate flocks of sheep. This is important. And unfortunately, late on Friday evening, both sets of sheep were attacked by dogs. And luckily enough, one of the farmers happened to be alerted that there was something up, that there was something at the sheep, and then he alerted the other farmer, and then when they went looking then, obviously then destruction was done then, as I said there at the beginning. one sheep, she was just killed, torn to pieces basically. Other sheep now, unfortunately, they are pitching their lambs, losing their lambs, that's basically aborting their lambs or miscarriage, for people that aren't familiar with farming terms. To put it clearly, and this is a huge cost now and a huge destruction. As I say, the remaining sheep, the sheep that are there remaining now, they're actually had to put them into the shade. They're terrorised, just they're fucking terrorised. And these sheep going forward will not do. They will not manage over the days again. As we speak at the minute, more lambs will be dead. More sheep will lose their lambs. These sheep were expected to be lambing the next 10 days to 2 weeks normally. That's not going to be happening now, Ryan. And this is the serious situation we have here. And as I said, now it's scarce of Falcarra there, between Falcarra town and Muckish, just to cover blanket all those town lands there.
Weather forecast, any remaining isolated showers will die away this evening, leaving a mainly dry, clear night. Lowest temperatures, -1 to +2 degrees Celsius. Winds easing light. Tomorrow, Tuesday, dry, sunny after a cold, frosty start. Afternoon temperatures will rise to between 9 and 11 in light to moderate variable, mainly southeasterly breezes, and roads along the county's gritting programme will be gritted from 6 tomorrow morning. Full details on the website. The headlines, as Donald Trump announces more attacks on Iran, there are conflicting views on the potential impact of the crisis on oil supplies here. The Justice Minister says he will consider an inquiry into the Chrysler tragedy. Minister Jim O'Callaghan says the families deserve answers, but repeated his belief that other processes must be completed first. The families have expressed disappointment after the minister's department said he wouldn't meet them until after the criminal investigation had been completed. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all the day's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, March 2nd. The death has occurred of James Slevin at the Mall Ballyshannon, reposing at his residence tomorrow from 2pm until 8pm. House private family outside at the reposing times and on the morning of the funeral. Removal on Wednesday from his residence at 10:30 to arrive at St Patrick's Church Ballyshannon for the Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock with interment in Abbey Astro Cemetery. The funeral Mass will be live streamed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Ballyshannon Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Patrick McKenna, Funeral Director, Ballyshannon, or any family member. The death has occurred of Bridget Bridie Bradley at her home in England, formerly of 37 Castle Park, Buncrana. Bridie's remains are reposing at her former residence. Removal from there tomorrow at 6:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Josephine Houghton, Corvish, Carndonna. Josephine's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there on Wednesday at 10:30, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Carndonna Parish, Derry Diocese, Ireland. Rosary will take place at 9pm in the Wake House tomorrow. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonna Community Hospital Patients Fund, care of any family member or Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Rose Doherty, Mahara Clohar Bombeg. Her remains will repose at her home in Mahara Clohar until 8 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 8pm with rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. House private, please, after rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place on Wednesday at 11am in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey. Burials afterwards in Mahragallan Cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Dunlow Community Hospital, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Mary Lily Reid, Ní Cí, Bottom Boy, Killygordon. Lily will repose at her home from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock today and again tomorrow from 2pm until 9pm. Funeral leaving there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:15, going to Dunamore Presbyterian Church for 2 o'clock service of thanksgiving for her life, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Seamus Doherty, Ballynarry, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home in Buncrana until 8 o'clock this evening and from 2:30 until 6:30 tomorrow. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 12:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has occurred of Stephen Corbett, 9 Cockhill Road, Buncrana, formerly of Limerick City. Stephen's remains will repose at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by removal to Thompson's Funeral Home, Limerick City. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10pm and on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.